Hey everybody, welcome back to That Girl with me, Danielle Decker, and I am so incredibly happy to be recording this podcast today. You guys, it's been like 4 months, and if you follow me, then you know it's been a long 4 months, and I am sorry that I fell off the face of the earth, but I'm back, and I'm here, and I'm excited, and I'm ready, and today is my birthday, so I thought, why not wait and record on a special day, on a day that I feel like, you know what? Today is a day that I can just start fresh and start my new year of life, my last year in my 30s, start it out strong, doing what I love, doing what God's called me to do. And so here we are. And I'm so thankful, so glad to be recording this for you. I have something that I've actually been working on for a little bit because it's just something that's been in my heart. As you guys know, if something's in my heart, that's usually what I share with you, because if I'm feeling a specific way, then I'm sure somebody else is too. And so I am praying and believing that everything that is said here today will be something that is relevant to you, something that will bless you, something that you can take it, put it in your back pocket and remember it. Because I just think God, man, he just loves us so much. And if we can just really grab a hold of, number one, how much he loves us. Number two, if we can grab a hold of his grace and his mercy. And number three, just really grab a hold of the fact that you have a purpose, that God created you with a purpose and a plan, and that life is so much more than just getting through and just getting by. And I just, you know, being hooked into a church, number one, but also being in ministry and having a church family and meeting so many different people, so many different kinds of people, seeing people come and go, I just feel like you get a really neat perspective. Sometimes really fun, sometimes kind of sad. But this perspective of how God has truly created us so individually, so uniquely, and that there's so many gifts and talents. And I see so many people that have these gifts that I do not possess myself, but, because they don't feel like it's a gift, they feel that, you know, well, I don't have anything to share. I don't know what I'm called to do, because isn't it a lot harder to recognize your own gift? I mean, I think that that's pretty common. Things that you come naturally to, or things that come naturally to you, they're harder for you to recognize because it's natural. But it's incredible to see God take people that have all these different things that they're good at or that they like to do. They put them together and they accomplish one goal. It's amazing. See, we're not all supposed to do it all on our own. We're supposed to bring the gift or the thing that we can do. Even if you don't feel like it's a gift, it's like, hey, well, I know how to do this. And I guarantee you there's someone else out there that would think, oh, I'm so glad that you know how to do that because I don't. And so now we can come together and create this really amazing thing. And so if I could ever help anyone figure anything out in their life, it would be finding your gifts and your talents, seeing yourself in that way, because it's not until you understand how you fit into the body. And I mean the body as in the church, the body of Christ, until you realize and understand that you have a place, you have a spot, you have a seat at that table. And when you realize that, that's when your life comes alive. That's when you find your true self, because you start getting hooked into ministry and you start being blessed by the gifts that you give to others. And God just has this incredible way of bringing us all together and of, you know, giving and receiving. And man, God's economy is where it's at. And so getting hooked into that and realizing that you have gifts, even if you don't realize it, and you have a purpose and God has a plan, is so huge in my heart. And, you know, not that I really wasn't going to talk too much about that today, but it definitely goes along with what I feel like God has been saying to me and what I think is really going to bless others. And today, actually, I'm just going to give the title because God kind of gave this to me a couple of weeks ago. And he just said, strip away the weight. And we're going to start today in Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. And it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And what's so amazing when we think about that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses is that there are all of these people that they walked with Jesus. They saw him and they were with him. They saw his miracles. And of course, there's so many more people than that. I mean, this cloud of witnesses is everyone that's gone before us. But when I specifically think of all of these people that walked with Jesus and they knew, they knew what was coming and what things were going to be like. And now they are up there and they are cheering for us, that there's this race, and the way that we would cheer on our loved ones, come on, you can do it. Don't give up. You're so close. That is how this cloud of witnesses is for us right now. They are all in heaven saying, don't give up. You are so close. Everything that all of us have been waiting for is right here, and you've got this. It's amazing. And that we would run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because, see, we want to try to run the race on our own, and we can't. I mean, you're not supposed to. You can't. That's why we're burnt out. That's why we're tired. Because the reality is we can get that way even when we are keeping our eyes on Jesus. So that's why he's telling us that we've got to continue to look unto him, but also running with endurance. And endurance actually means the ability to withstand hardships or adversity, especially the ability to sustain a prolonged, stressful effort or activity. Wow. That is everything right there. I could stop this whole thing right here. Because when we're running with endurance, the ability to withstand hardships or adversity, does anyone ever have hardship or adversity? The answer is yes, because I know y'all are in your car or wherever you are shaking your head. Yes, girl, adversity, hardship, I'm with you. But especially the ability to sustain a prolonged, stressful effort or activity. Prolonged. It's prolonged. Because guess what? Sometimes we are walking through things that are hard. And even if it's not something that you're walking through by yourself, listen, I've been in ministry for a really, really long time. And it's the biggest, greatest blessing of my entire life. There is nothing else that I would rather be doing. But ministry is a work of love. It is a selfless work. And I'm not saying that to boast of myself, because I have so many faults and I do not do ministry perfectly, don't claim to. And I need every single person around me to hold me up and help me. But what I'm saying is it's prolonged. Ministry is prolonged, because let me tell you something, our lives are a ministry. Yes, I do ministry at church, but I have a ministry just by being a follower of Jesus, and so do you. And I don't know about you, but that's prolonged. I want my life to be prolonged. I want to live a long life full of joy, keeping my eyes on Jesus. But sometimes that can be stressful. There's effort. It can have hardship or adversity, but I must endure until the end because God has something for us. See, I'm not just running the race just to run for no reason. I'm running because I know that there's a joy that is set before me in the same way that the joy was set before Jesus. And if I keep my eyes on him, the more my plan and my purpose and the things that God would have for me to do, the more that they unfold. But for me to do that, I have to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And laying that weight aside is not always easy. Because it says, the sin that easily ensnares us. God knows that it's easy for us to fall into sin. It's easy for us to have weights, even when we don't want them, even when they're least expected, things that happen. But that doesn't mean that we don't keep our eyes on Him. The best way to run the race is to lay those things down. And see, one of the weights that I want to talk about today quickly that I think can be heavier than what we can even realize is the weight of the enemy telling us that we need to just continually be laying down and groveling at God's feet. See, well, there's a lot of times where I think Christians spend so much time laying down, begging God to help them, that they have no other time to stand up and be the Christian that God's created them to be. See, there's a difference between laying at the feet of Jesus and spending time with him and soaking in his love and letting him pour his heart out to you and speak to you and just receiving more of himself, all of those things, okay? So don't get it twisted here. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of time that we can spend thinking that we need to continually beg Jesus to help us. Lord, help me with this. Get this right. Da, 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 da. To see, we're really giving the enemy too much attention because we're just constantly begging God for something that he's already taken care of. And I'm here that when you're a beggar, you're not also up being prosperous, right? You're not. Those two things are not going hand in hand. Because when we feel like we have to keep thinking of the weight that is laying us down, we are giving the enemy the attention that we need to be giving to God. And when we're laying down and begging God for what we need or what we want, we are not up and running. And I think something that God wants us to understand is it's like we are his children. We are his children. Of course, there are times that our children sit with us and we love them and we hold them and we sing to them and we read them books and all of that. But our kids, they are not laying at our feet all day, every day. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of time that I'm like, come on, let's go. I know you love me. I love you. Get your shoes on. Get your bag. Da, da, da. We got to go. And do you not think that God might be thinking that same thing about us? He's saying, you know how much I love you. Grab a hold of how much I love you. Grab a hold of how much you have been set free, that you are healed, that my grace is sufficient for you, that you are healthy, you're provided for, you're reconciled. You are all of these things. I have given you shalom, peace, all encompassing. I've given that all to you. And his peace is the absence of war, the war of the enemy. But see, when we're hanging on to all of that stuff, it's keeping us from running. He's saying, I want you up here with me. See yourself the way that I see you. That's why I did all of this. Not so you could lay down and beg at my feet, but so you could stand up as a child of God and be who I've created you to be, that you could run with me. Because I think that we are getting closer to the end. And I think God is not only running, I think he is sprinting. And we cannot be just walking with the weight because he wants us running completely set free. We want to run in a way that we would receive the prize. And he's saying, you don't have to keep running to me. I want you running with me. And yes, we run to him because he is everything we need. He is all sufficient. But once we have laid a hold of who we are, and when we don't let go of everything that he has paid for, everything that we've already been given, see, we just have to receive it. And once we've received it, we have the ability to run with him. He's saying, you are here. You are mine. You are with me already. Stop focusing on the weight, because I will strip that away and it will begin to fall off once you start the race. He tells us in John 15, 1 through 3, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. He's saying right here, don't worry about all the dead stuff. God comes and he takes that away. And not only does he take all that extra weight out of you, the things that about you that are good, he's pruning it that we would be able to bear more fruit. And he's saying, listen, you're already cleaned up. You're already clean. You're already loved. You're already forgiven. You already have my grace. You're already healthy. You're already prosperous because I've spoken these things to you. The weight will come off when you start running with me, because I am the one that takes care of it, not you. And part of changing our perspective from constantly being down is growing up in the word and in our walk. Because how long, he says, Jesus says, how long that he has had to sit with us? How long do we have to keep going back for the same exact thing? Now listen, that's not for condemnation, okay? I can't tell you how many times I've asked God for certain things, and I will continue asking him for those things until I see the blessing or see the release or whatever it is. Don't get what I'm saying twisted. God always, always wants us to bring every single thing to him. Every single day. There's never a time, never a moment where he doesn't want to know, because he already does, what we need, what we're asking for, pouring our heart out to him. But see, what he also wants, though, is he wants us to receive what he's given. Because if we keep asking and we keep asking, how annoying is that for us? And don't get me wrong, God's not annoyed, but we are. You know what it feels like when your kid's like, mom, can you, mom, can you, mom, can you? And you're like, I've already done it. It's right here. Here, take it. What is the matter? Now, thankfully, God doesn't get upset, but you can visualize and you can understand my point I'm trying to make here. If God has already given it, why do we keep begging him? And he's not upset at you for begging him. He's not upset at you for bringing it to his feet again. He's just saying, oh, I want so badly for you to receive what I've already given you, because I want you to be further along than what you are right now. And that is not going to happen until you just receive it. It's not. And here at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, by this time, and listen, that's not a rebuke. That's not a rebuke. That's not, you know, pushing people away like, no, I cannot believe I'm having to do this again. But it's what this scripture is saying is you have been here. You've been listening. You have the word. You have everything that you need, that you should be at the point that you're teaching others. But you can't, because you're still in need of someone to continue to give you these little nuggets all along the way, not growing up in the word. And see, there is that expectation of growing up in the word. And that expectation is a good thing. Do we not expect our children to grow up, be successful, loving, wonderful adults? Of course we do. We have that expectation because we've given so much to them and because we love them so much. We want to see them succeed. We want to see them take what we've taught them, apply it to their life, and grow up and be wonderful adults that they can take all of that and go and create their own family. How much more God's not saying that same thing to us? Don't be unskilled in the things that I've taught you. Apply it to your life that you would be able to teach others. See, because it's part of the plan and the purpose. The plan and the purpose is to grow up in the Word. And the reason that it's hard for us to sometimes not continue to grovel at the feet of God is because we haven't grown up in His Word. We're not receiving the way that we should, which is really just saying, yes, Lord, I receive. There's no magic formula. There's no specific prayer. It's just coming to Him and spending time with Him and being skilled in the Word, His very Word that He's given to you. Being able to discern. And while Jesus does want us to come to Him as little children, that our faith would be like that of a child, free, coming to Him openly with no bounds, it's still growing in the wisdom and knowledge of Him. Because if an adult is running, then the children will run. So why are we not running after our Heavenly Father? Why are we not running with Him? Because we need to be coming as a child, trusting as a child. If God is on the move, then we should be moving with Him. Amen. We should be moving with Him. And the weight of the conviction, the condemnation, I should say, the weight of the condemnation comes off when you start running in the opposite direction of what is holding you back. Because remember, it easily ensnares you. We have to start running in the opposite direction of the things that easily ensnare us. Becoming skilled in the Word. But I know that starting is the hardest part. Anytime we want to do anything in this life, starting is the hardest part. It was hard. I can't begin to tell you how hard it was for me to start my podcast 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, whatever it was. I can't tell you how hard that was for me to start it. And I got to be honest, for me to start up again, it is not easy, especially when you feel like you failed, you feel like you've walked away from something, you feel like you've let God down, you've let yourself down, you've let others down. It's hard, but you have to start. Because you're not going to have the whole picture all at once. But when you are running a race, just because you can't see the finish line doesn't mean that you don't press as hard as you can for the finish, because you know it's there. And that's where we are at in our lives right now, in our walk with Christ, in our faith, in all of those things. There is a finish line, and that's whether Jesus comes back or we get to the end of our life. No matter what, there is a finish line for every life that walks this earth right now. And it's, how are you going to run that weight race? Are you going to be weighted down? Or are you going to start running with God? Let Him take those weights off of you. Receive all the good, all the things that He's so graciously paid for, and run with Him and see your plan and purpose fulfilled that He has for you. And remember that in a 5K, right? all along the way. There's little points, there's little water break or a little post that says you've gone your first mile, whatever it is. God has those for you too. So don't worry. He will keep you going when we keep our focus on Him. God has so much to do, and there are way too many Christians that are fighting about where the starting line is. Instead of running the race, they would rather argue with other Christians about where the starting line is than to actually start the race. Don't be one of those Christians. Just start running with Him and see how many people will start running because you did. Stop worrying about the weight. Receive from Him every single day and go. Because your life is worth it. Because He says so. Because He loves you so much that there's nothing that He won't give to you. There's nothing that He hasn't already done for you. You are here for a specific purpose for right now. And the weight that you feel is of the enemy. And that doesn't mean that we don't bring it to His feet, but we bring it, we receive His love. His shalom, all-encompassing peace. We stand back up because we are a proud child of the King, and we keep going with endurance, pressing on. Philippians 3, 13 through 14 says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." We have not arrived and we never will. But we can forget whatever it is that's holding you back. Forget about it. Whatever's happened in the past, whatever you walked away from, whatever you didn't do, whatever you messed up, whatever it was, forget about it. Reach forward. Reach toward the goal and start pressing for that finish line. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He is our focus. His plan for you is your focus. And all that weight will be stripped away because He has already paid the price. And because He loves you so very much. You guys, I hope you are blessed by this podcast today, this episode today. I'm so thankful and I'm so blessed that each and every one of you presses play whenever you do. Share this message, easily shareable, to anyone that you know that might need this message. And whether you send it to a person or post it to your page, I can't tell you how much it means to me that it would get the message of Jesus to those who need it. And I pray that you guys have an awesome rest of your week. And I promise you, you'll see me here next week at That Girl.